Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Are we excited to be here this morning? You know what? I'm going to say this. It already looks like a more awake audience than last week. So I'm pretty excited for that one. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for the opportunity we have to join together, to praise and to worship you as a family of believers. Father, I ask that this morning that you may just speak to each one of our hearts. You may soften them. Father, we also want to pray for our offering that it may be a blessing to you and that it may be used for your good works. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we all stand, please?
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of the servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, so we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun.
Blessed be your name. Blessed
every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Glorious name. Blessed.
Seriously, I cannot say thank you enough to all the volunteers. We had an abundance of volunteers, and the time that we had with the children this week was great. Saw a lot of faces from Awana's, but we saw a lot of new faces, too, that I don't think we've ever really seen here before. So I was pretty stoked about that. I was really excited to just see what God is doing within our community and opening the doors for us to minister in different ways. So for all of you volunteers, thank you. It made a big difference. And the amount of teenagers and the different teenagers and youth that came out to help, it was great. It was just awesome to see all of that. So, but I want to start this morning by saying good morning. And I am so excited everybody that is here is here. I want to welcome you guys, our visitors, and also those joining us online and on the radio. We're glad you could join us. I am super excited for it. But before we get into today's message, let's just take a moment and let's pray. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to get together and to praise and to worship you. Father, I pray that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not mine. Father, I pray that even the hardest of hearts are softened and that we may just learn more about you, that we may dig in deeper when it comes to you. And Father, that we may just have more love like you. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, let it fall on deaf ears. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've been working through this series we call The Battle. Last week, we looked at a couple different things. And this week, though, we're going to be looking at compassion and what it means to be compassionate. Because compassion is not always easy to actually do. It's not something that we always want to give out, depending on who's around. Yet as Christians, we are called to be compassionate. So what is compassion? Well, it's an interesting term, and depending on who you ask, you're going to get numerous different answers. And numerous. You know, some people look at compassion as a feeling that we have, as just an emotion. Others look at it as what people do or say. Some look at it as being really good at reading verbal cues and responding accordingly. Other people have wrote that having compassion is the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes. Yet another's taken even a little bit further and to say it's the ability or the effort to imagine others' feelings or as just feelings connected or relating to someone. Finally, some look at it as a moral stance to be concerned with others and people's general welfare. Having a genuine desire to help people out. When I look through that list, I feel like having compassion is just another way of saying, be a nice and decent person. That is our actions, our feelings, our perspectives, and motives adding together to bring about compassion. It's all of these things tied into one. I think all of these things are in one way or another a form of compassion, but they really do need to all be brought together. One thing I want to let you guys know, as we read through the Bible and as we read through, if you find the word love and compassion, they often are interchangeable. They're interchangeable with each other. If you have a lot of love for someone, then you will have compassion for someone. And if you have compassion for someone, you have love for them. The Baker Bible Encyclopedia puts it this way, the quality of showing kindness or favor, of being gracious or having pity or mercy in the Bible. God is described as being like a compassionate father to those who revere him. In Psalms 103, verse 13, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Jesus exemplified God's compassion. He did it through his preaching and his healings, and the way he had. Jesus exemplified it in the way that he was concerned for the lost people in the world. Jesus often went out of his way for those that society didn't like or had thrown to the side. Ultimately, Jesus' biggest act of compassion to the world was the sacrifice that he did on the cross for you and I and our sins. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God proves his own love for us that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the world around us has lost its compassion. The world around us has lost its ability to show compassion to the least of these. I want you to think about this for a moment. We have compassionate moments, but let's look at the war in Ukraine. When it first started, you saw every other Facebook post about how horrible it is on what Russia is doing, right? You couldn't get on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram without seeing it about every other time. The news media was running around the clock about what was going on over there. Profile pictures were changed with some form of Ukrainian flag in it and sayings with like, "We stand with Ukraine." Yet within a couple of weeks, it all went away. People stopped talking about it. No one really seemed to care anymore, at least not enough to really make mention of it anymore. How about 8 years ago? Does anybody remember hashtag bring back our girls? Anybody remember that? It was a global campaign. For those of you who don't remember, back in April of 2014, the members of an armed group called Boko Haram kidnapped 276 seniors from a government secondary school for girls in northeast Nigeria. Within weeks, the news and social media was a complete outcry with that hashtag of bring back our girls. You had pop stars, actors, and even the First Lady of the United States tweeting about it, demanding their safe return. Yet, when was the last time you heard anything about these girls? Though some of these girls have been found through negotiations and have been returned. But did you know there's still over 100 of these girls missing 8 years later? 8 years later, these young ladies have not been returned to their friends or family. Their whereabouts are unknown. When something is new and fresh, it's often easy to raise awareness for that moment. It's easy to raise money for these kinds of things, to put something into action, but yet it only seems to last for a moment. It's a come-and-go kind of mentality the world seems to have when it comes to compassion. We don't have follow through. It's no different than when someone passes away. So often we do a great job at that moment to reach out to that family for that week to make sure they're okay. It's fresh, it's new. But when was the last time you checked on someone who lost a loved one a month later, 3 months later, a year later? They're still processing that loss and that grief. Are you still showing compassion at that moment? See, compassion is not a one-and-done kind of thing. It's a lifestyle. It's being there for people even throughout time. Having compassion is something I believe we all want to instill in our children, right? We all want to see that our children have compassion in life. Yet our society today, many adults in America lack compassion. They lack that ability. We're having a harder and harder time understanding people who don't look like us, who talk like us, or act like us. Not only do we have a harder time understanding people like this, we often don't want to take the time to understand them. It is easier to just dismiss it than it is to understand. The University of Michigan did a study of over 14,000 college students between 1979 through 2009. And it showed that there had been over a 40% decline in empathy in that time frame. 40%. Notably, the most of the decline happened after the year 2000. And it was as online messaging boards, chat rooms, and social media engagement started to kick up. See, social media drives us apart as easy as it connects us. It takes away our ability to have true compassion for others. Our focus and patience are diminished, and we're moved from more of a personal relationship to just online relationship, where we have superficial bonds that hold us together. The more we're online, the more we want to do. We don't take the time to slow down and see what's going on around us, and we want everything on demand now. Think about it. How many people in here pay for Amazon Prime? You don't have to actually show your hands, but how many do? Why do we do it? Because we get our packages in 2 days instead of 5 days. Think about it. We sign up for Netflix and Hulu and other streaming services so we don't have to go rent movies at the store anymore. We can just watch what we want and when we want it. We have self-checkout lines in stores. We've done about everything we can do to make sure that we're not building relationships with people, that we don't have to interact with other people. And did you know that technology causes us to care less? It causes us to be more obsessed with ourselves, and we're worried about what others than we are about worried about other things. We are more worried about how we present ourselves online than in our actual relationships with others. We have things like Throwback Thursdays, Selfie Sundays, and these things get us to focus on us, not on the people around us. We've become so attached to our cell phones that a Pew study found that 76% of cell phone owners rarely, if ever, turn off their phones, staying constantly reachable. That same study found that 89% of cell phone owners had used their phone during their last social engagement. So the last time that they were interacting with other people, they had their phone out and were doing other things. They were multitasking in that way. They would not give that full attention to the person in front of them. 89%. And I'm guilty of this myself at times, guys. I will not deny that. You have to learn to put your phone down. Turn it off, face down, however. But it can be difficult because we're so used to being connected all the time. But it actually makes us disconnected with the people around us. We use social media to share information. Some of that information is good, but on the same hand, social media and technology has completely desensitized us to the point that we often don't see a problem anymore. We see ads for hungry kids all over. We simply give a sad reaction or put a mental note on how bad that is. We see these ads all the time. We see videos of bombs dropping on cities and homes and stuff being destroyed. We watch that live in the Ukraine. We see people being shot online. We see all types of evil live right in front of us. And what this does is it desensitizes us. It removes us from understanding how bad something is. It no longer bothers us in things that would normally bother us. And because of this desensitizing, it makes it easier to not actually care. We can just ignore the suffering from a distance. When we see that someone lost their jobs, it's easy to give a sad face reaction. It's easy to say sorry to hear that, yet do nothing more. We don't see how they truly feel. We don't offer to pray with them at that moment. We don't sit back and walk through that difficult moment in life with them. We simply click a button and think we've done enough. True compassion, on the other hand, demands action. It demands stepping up and actually feeling sympathy. Feeling sympathy to the point that it pushes us into action to actually do something. To say that you care about something yet do absolutely nothing shows that you don't care at all. Caring is not clicking a button. Caring is moving in action. Caring is not just liking a post or changing your profile picture to the newest outcry or the newest news media thing. To truly have compassion, you need to love a person. You need to actually care enough to do something. You know, Mark 1:40 and 41 says, "Then a man with leprosy came to him on his knees and begged him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, "I am willing. Be made clean." You see, Jesus did something. He was willing to move. He didn't just say that he cared about this person. He was willing to put it into action. He was willing to touch this person with leprosy that the rest of society had thrown to the side. And because of that, someone's life was changed that day. And he didn't do it from a distance. He physically touched him. He was there for him. He made contact with that person. If we look at the life of Jesus and the examples that he set for us, we simply need to flip over to Matthew 14:14 again, and there we have another passage where it says, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. See, Jesus could have just said, oh man, that stinks, and moves on. All this crowd bringing their sick people about, he could have just moved on. He could have looked at that crowd and said, I don't have the energy for this today. I don't have the time for this today. He didn't have to go and make that contact with the crowd, but he did. He cared for the people. He had compassion on them. He healed their sick. He was there for them when nobody else wanted to be. Later in Matthew 20, again, we see Jesus having compassion on the sick. As him and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There was two blind men sitting on the side of the road, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out to him. They cried out for Jesus to have mercy on them. Yet as the people in the, heard them crying out in the crowd around them, they told these men to be quiet. They tried to keep them from Jesus. We often do the same when we keep our focus on us. We keep people from being able to see who Jesus is and what he's fulfilled. Yet these men did cry out even louder, and Jesus heard them. And Jesus spoke with them, and he asked them what they needed. And they asked Jesus to open their eyes. And it tells us in verse 34, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they could see, and they followed him. See, Jesus gives us an example after example. We should never be too busy. We should never be too busy that we can't show compassion to others. There were all these other people around him at that moment, but yet Jesus took a moment for these two people who needed him the most right then and there. You know, the more we become obsessed with social media and technology, the more we care about ourselves and the less we care about others. Yet the closer we get with Jesus, the less we care about ourselves and the more we care about others. We know that if we claim to be Christians, we are called to allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives, to let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us, to become more Christ-like in everything we do. Showing compassion can be easy at times when we're doing nothing else. When we're doing nothing else, being compassionate is not that hard. But when we're just moving through life and we have some downtime, many of us don't mind sitting down with someone and maybe listening for that moment. Other of us want to go take naps at that moment. But that just varies. Yet when we get busy is the biggest challenge of all. Being able to be compassionate in those moments when everything is busy comes the true test. And comes the ability. Are we so busy that we can't even stop for a moment? Even for a moment. We look at Jesus and the examples that he set, and no matter what was going on, he always took that time to show compassion. No matter what. In Mark 6, we find Jesus and the disciples going away for a couple of days to rest, time to eat and spend some time in prayer. They had been busy, go, 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 all that time, only for them to get to the other side and a large crowd had gathered. And instead of telling everyone to go away, it tells us in verse 34, when he went up ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. He took that time, even in that busy moment. He took that time for the people. He did it again in Luke 8 when he was on his way to heal a dying girl. He was interrupted by a woman who'd been sick for over 12 years. He took compassion on her and he healed her. Mark 2, someone removed the roof of where Jesus was teaching. Imagine that. We're standing here and suddenly someone removes the roof here and lowers down a sick person. How many of you guys would be freaking out at that moment? I'd be a little shocked myself. But he had compassion on that man and he healed him. Wherever Jesus went, he showed compassion. And he showed the compassion that we're called to have. He was never too busy to stop and help someone in need. God often works in those moments, the moments that we think we're too busy or that we can't. when we know someone is struggling or needing help, we shouldn't just blow it off. We should pick up the phone, give them a call, or even better yet, go and visit them. Spend time with them. Sit with them in their storm of life. Be willing to pull over and help that person change the tire on the side of the road. How about that person that always annoys you? I want you to think about that for a minute. That person that always annoys you, they seem to come around at the least opportune times and interrupt you on whatever you're doing at that moment. Yet you have no idea what you're missing by not just sitting down and talking with them. You have no idea what God may be trying to do at that moment. Never be too rushed. You know, I've had moments like that often in my own life where I didn't want to stop. But when I did, I got to show the compassion and I got to see that moment come into action. I know I've shared a little bit of this story before, but I will share just, there's one in particular moment that always is, I was driving home from church one day and I felt God saying I needed to pull over and talk to this person. And this was after a board meeting late at night. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to stop. It was past 10 o'clock. And I pulled over, and the man was drunk, stumbling down the road. And I got to hear his story that night. And I remember my response to him always was when he asked, why would I do this? Why would I pray with him? All I could think to say was, because God loves you. To fast forward the story, because I know some of you have heard it before, it was 2 years later, I got a random phone call from a man, and the man proceeds to inform me that he's that person, but he has now been saved. He is our brother in Christ. He's been baptized and everything else because I took a moment and I wasn't too busy to stop and share the gospel of Jesus with someone, to be willing to listen to that person and where they were at that moment in life. How many people do we miss in our lives because we're too busy? How many moments like that do we miss where people don't get to hear the gospel because we have become too busy for them? And that we stop showing compassion. I'm not perfect at that. There's many times I look back and I go, why didn't I stop? Because God's making me feel guilty when I got home and I'm praying. But there's been many times I'm so glad I did, and the more I do it, the more I want to do it. Because I have seen what God can do in those little moments. See, the other part about being compassionate is we look at it and we look at the cost, and we think that the cost is too great. And I'm not just talking financial cost here. I'm talking about our time, our energy, and everything else. Being compassionate is not always as easy as it sounds. Our time is worth something, right? We would all believe that our time is worth something. Our energy is worth something. Our finances are worth something. All of it. And when we look at the cost sometimes, we don't want to bear it. Yet we forget that Jesus has already provided everything that we have. He's given you that time for a time like this. He's given you those finances for a cost like this. And he's given you that energy to be able to use at a place like this. But when we look at that cost, we don't want anything to do with it. In Luke 10, 30 through 35, I don't have the passages up there, but a man was going down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, they beat him, and they fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be coming down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he had arrived at the place, saw him and passed on the other side. They avoided him. They saw him sitting there. It's kind of like when we see the homeless man on the corner with the sign saying, you know, we'll work for food or have family, all of that. How many of you make eye contact with that person, or how many of you hang your head or look the other direction? You don't actually need to tell me, just mental note for yourself. Same concept. They walked around. They avoided this man. But a Samaritan, on the journey came to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion on him. He went over to him, and he bandaged his wounds. He poured on olive oil and wine, and when he put him on his own animal, and he brought him to the inn, and he took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend." Where the others just walked away, the Samaritan was genuinely concerned for this man laying on the side of the road. He didn't worry about how his travels got interrupted. He didn't worry about how his direction of the next couple days was changing. He worried about the safety of this man. He didn't worry about the cost either. He personally cared for him, used his own resources to take care of him, and even offered to pay the next guy to cover his resources so that this man could be healed. It's the same today. Even when others didn't care for that man, Samaritan did. But it's the same today. We can stand there and we can like stuff on Facebook. We can share posts. We can share links. We can change our profile pictures. We can do all of that. But unless we're willing to take the next steps, does it even matter? We talk about how important children's lives are, but what are we doing to help the parents that are struggling to make ends meet? What are we doing for the mom who has a kid at a young age? Or the dad that's stepping up into the role for the first time? What about the kids with no families? Are we willing to have compassion for them? Are we willing to volunteer to help them? What about that person who's being bullied? Are you willing to stand next to them? When that person reaches out, are you willing to be there, or are you just going to blow them off because the time is not right? You see, when the church does as Jesus instructed, when we're the hands and the feet of Jesus, we show compassion in our world and our community. Do you know the hungry are fed, the naked are clothed, the homeless are given hope, and the broken people are restored? Compassion changes lives. All of Jesus' interactions where he showed compassion, lives were changed. And that's what we're called to do as the body of Christ, is to change lives by presenting Jesus to them. And sometimes that requires action. It requires us showing compassion. And the crazy thing is, often the life that's changed the most is your own. So often I can tell you the moments when I've gotten to be there with families in difficult moments or with a person in the difficult moment, they may have discovered some peace, but they have no idea what I got out of it at the same time. But if there's anything that I want you to remember this week, is a couple things here. To care and not act is not to care at all. Remember that. And yet, the closer we get to Jesus, the more you care, and the more you care, the closer you get to Jesus. So let's put our phones down, folks. Let's log off of social media for a minute. I'm not saying you have to get rid of it, but let us focus on things that we should be focused on. Let us focus on our friends and our family. Let us focus on our community around us. Let us be the hands and feet of Jesus again. Let's show some compassion to our world around us, not just blowing people off because we don't like it at that moment, or it doesn't fit our agenda, or we're too busy. Let us never be too busy to show compassion. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Father, I ask that we may learn to be more compassionate, that we may learn to be more loving and caring. Father, that we may learn to be the hands and feet of Jesus as you've instructed. Father, may we look to your Son for the example that you gave us throughout the Bible. Father, I ask that you stir within our hearts and our minds, that we look at ways in which we can be more compassionate to people that we run into, that we may not be as quick to judge, that we may not be as quick to dismiss others, but instead that we show your love in all that we do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
May you all stand, please.
Thank you.
Praise God. I pray as you go out this week that you may just be a blessing to others as God has blessed you. May you remember the love that he has for each of you, and may you show it to the rest of the people around you. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.